Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Friendly reminder, you can always listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And we're streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. So a myriad of ways to digest this amazing everyday content, my friends. All right, so we wanted to get into this latest news about the RFK site. And this is from Eric Flack TV on Twitter from WSA9. This is from 17 hours ago. Source, Maryland, Virginia, reaching out to Commanders about building team's new stadium in wake of exclusivity clause expiring with D.C. RFK remains the clear frontrunner, but D.C. Council, now entering the FAFO phase, told if vote goes past July, the 2030 opening is in serious jeopardy. So that is his tweet from yesterday afternoon. We also have some audio of Eric Flack. I think we have two clips here. This is him talking, I believe, at first about the date passing for the D.C. Council to approve the stadium.
Eric, it is July 16th, so we are past the deadline. What does that mean?
Well, it means that people are starting to get nervous around the stadium agreement between D.C. and the Commanders. I've learned today that Maryland and Virginia have both reached out to the Commanders about trying to get back in the game, so to speak, for building the team's new stadium in the wake of this exclusivity clause expiring with D.C. Basically, as part of the agreement between the mayor and the team, the D.C. Council had until July 15th, which was yesterday, to approve the agreement without the team, the Commanders, being able to talk to anybody else. That window has expired, so now we're not back to square one, but the Commanders are no longer legally bound to only talk to D.C. Now, this doesn't mean that the D.C. stadium deal is dead by any means. D.C. Council has raised a number of red flags, specifically about the $1.1 billion taxpayer price tag that is attached to this deal, and have indicated that they're going to need some time to kind of scrutinize it before they approve it. What that timeline is, nobody really knows. But what this does mean is that they're entering a phase where they're kind of playing with fire, I think, one source kind of told me, where is, you know, the Commanders have to start making contingency plans for what would happen if this D.C. RFK deal just kind of falls apart.
I don't know how you guys feel, but I would have a hard time taking Virginia seriously, especially after the dalliance that Ted Leonsis has had as far as moving the Caps and the Wizards from D.C. to Virginia. It just seems like there's too much red tape, opposition to getting something done in Virginia.
It might kind of depend on where in Virginia, right. But you could be right on that.
But Maryland, like, if you're Wes Moore, Governor Wes Moore, you're licking your chops at the fact that this deadline is passed.
Yeah, but does he have the wherewithal? I mean, this is a big
I mean, you guys live in Maryland, but what's the financial state of the state?
I don't think Maryland? It's great.
Valdez knows better. He's
not
been
good.
Kind of, yeah.
I think there's a huge deficit.
You think I'm plugged into the Maryland budget?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you focus on that stuff from Westmore.
Valdez was saying telling me all about the Westmore spending and all.
Yeah,
that.
they blew through the surplus. They actually
surplus.
Yeah, Hogan left him with like a $3 trillion surplus,
and it sounds like a lot.
And then actually, they actually got downgraded in terms of their loan, like state loan approval.
Right.
Trust me, my dad.
Maryland pride.
I mean, I've lived in Virginia, but trust me, my dad lists everything that's going on in the state.
Oh, I'm sure. Right. He gives you line items. Yeah.
There was a tweet from Brad Bell, who is works for, I don't know.
Is he Channel 7?
Yeah, Channel 7.
Yeah.
He tweeted 2 days ago, "Today I asked Governor Wes Moore if he plans to push for the Commanders to stay in Maryland if the RFK Stadium plan hits a roadblock." Mm-hmm. His answer, "No. My commitment is to make sure this area, PG County, is going to be better than it is right now."
Mm. So he feels it's better without the Commanders?
Says focuses on the development of the Largo site. "Right now we have 200 acres that are used 8 times a year for a couple of hours. The people of Prince George's County and the people of that area deserve better than that. They're going to get better than that."
Yeah, I'm reading that right here.
Doesn't sound like he's too worn out for the Commanders.
Maybe,
to stay in Maryland.
Maybe Flack throwing it out there because if DC is out, obviously Maryland, Virginia would be in. I mean,
right.
He's not moving the team to Carolina.
Well, I think Flack said publicly Wes Moore is pretending like he's not interested.
Right.
But
yeah,
he really
I believe
is.
Behind the
maybe.
Scenes.
Maybe. So publicly he's saying no.
Yeah. Or he also knows he doesn't have the financial wherewithal or whatever to make it happen.
I think he has the wherewithal. Because wherewithal makes it seem like he couldn't pull off a big deal. He was able to do it with the Orioles. They just don't have the finances.
Won't this be
it?
That's what I mean by finance. Financial wherewithal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean he doesn't have the capacity. I'm just saying he doesn't have the financial wherewithal.
Look, I think all along that everything is still in play. I believe they're ultimately going to end up at RFK, but I thought the Capitals and Wizards are going to be playing in Alexandria.
I thought so, too. I thought they were on the move.
So I don't rule out the possibility until it's a done deal. Yeah.
Do we have another clip from Eric Flack.
And Flack is as plugged in as anybody. Yeah.
So for me, if I'm D.C., I'm not threatened certainly by Virginia. I mean, unless the Commanders need to see memes or something, that's empty. Maryland, I don't get the sense that they're really ready with a serious offer that's even on the table. I wouldn't be threatened by this, but maybe that's just my own cynicism. Eric, your thoughts?
I think Danny, that the deal with Maryland is that they have a site, and that you're right about Virginia is that it's all pie in the sky because there's just no site. But you know, Maryland has a site, and when you have a site, you have a chance. And so, you know, I read somewhere that, publicly Wes Moore is saying, you know, we're not really focused on that. I think privately what I'm being told is that Maryland is just reminding the Commanders we are ready to go and ready to hammer something out if this deal falls apart. And I think, you know, there's a lot of timeline questions that are happening right now. I've been told today that, you know, if this vote extends past July, we're already talking about the stadium not being ready, even if it is in D.C. by the 2030 season, which was something that the team really, really wanted to see happen. But, you know, at a certain point, I think the team and possibly almost certainly states like Maryland have to, like, be ready to go if, in fact, the unthinkable were to happen, which is that the deal just completely falls apart. And with, you know, politics and D.C. Council specifically, I think unpredictability is the only thing that you can predict.
What a mess. This whole thing's just dragging on.
So they wouldn't extend the deadline date? They refused to do that?
Who?
D.C. Remember D.C.
They're gambling that date was just kind of whatever, and that the other states or whatever won't swoop in, and they're still going to take their time to figure this out. So they're gambling a little bit.
They're not sweating the exclusivity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're gambling a little bit. They're banking on Virginia not being able to pull it and Wes Moore not being able to.
Hey, I feel like the council has the mayor and the team by the balls.
They pretty much do.
Well, they do in the sense that they have all the leverage.
The power. They have the leverage.
They've got the hammer right now.
I don't know the specifics, but they're going to be some concessions.
And I would guess like
that Josh and the mayor are going to have to do.
Behind closed doors, like Harris has to be just
because
completely steamed.
Virginia's laughable. And I don't think, besides having the site, I don't know if Maryland has the financial ability to support.
Financial wherewithal.
To support a stadium. Right. Or to support the build of a stadium.
And they're saying, we don't really care about your deadlines. We'll do this when we think it's right and the deal's right.
To me, or the D.C. council just come off as just smug.
I actually like it. I don't. We have to be fiscally responsible. They're trying to be fiscally responsible.
We don't have to be. They have to be.
We as a country have to be fiscally responsible. They're being. I'm sure there's another side of it that's corrupt as hell, but.
Just when I give up hope of Virginia getting its first professional sports team, they pull me back in.
You think there's real hope for Virginia? I don't think so.
Every time I give up hope, Eric Flack comes out and says, Virginia's not dead.
Yeah, Virginia's dead.
Where are they going to put it?
He wants to put it in Ashburn.
They got too many data centers. You guys have too many data centers.
Didn't we have a caller who said that Josh Harris really doesn't want the stadium in D.C.? He just is doing his due diligence.
I was away.
I didn't believe that.
I don't remember all the details, but this guy that had this whole conspiracy that Josh Harris really doesn't want the stadium down there. He just knows he has to do it to appease the fan base.
Feels like he's doing a dance.
He knows it's going to get rejected, and then he can put it where he really wants.
Didn't he say he's going to put it like a rock quarry?
Where does he really want to put it?
Scumfries?
I don't know.
I'm open to the theory.
I don't believe that for 1 second.
I'm open to the theory.
I believe everything Harris says publicly.
Yeah, I don't believe the guy that grew up here in Chevy Chase and went to games down in D.C. doesn't want the stadium back at its original spot. I have a hard time believing that.
Well, maybe... He knows it's not a viable spot for what he really wants in his dream stadium.
Right.
Right.
In his grand scheme.
Yeah, in a perfect world, of course he would want it there. But it may not work. There's a lot of issues with the site.
Maybe he gets size for tailgating, Cakes.
Maybe he's the larger version of
tailgate Josh.
Yeah.
Well, he probably wants to charge an F-ton for
parking.
I love parking.
Tailgate. Who's that? Give me a glizzy over here. Yeah. It's Josh Harris. The tailgate job.
He wants to play bags.
Yeah. He likes it. Every time I saw
Who doesn't like bags? Every time I saw
Harris, he had a red solo cup.
Well, you would too if you're a multi-billionaire and you own eight sports teams.
He should be. It's Josh Red Solo Cup Harris.
That's what I said months ago.
Yep.
He loves happy hour.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't love happy hour?
Drinks.
Well, Bickle doesn't anymore.
The diehards do not appreciate us joking around like this, by the way.
Why?
They get so angry at the thought of the stadium not being at RFK. Like, it's there or nowhere.
If you're a diehard, you're going to go to the game wherever it is, or you're going to watch it wherever it is. That's it. To me, this, and I'm not supposed to say this, I've been yelled at by Drab. Don't say my opinion. Wherever they put the stadium, people are going to go. People are going to support the team. It's going to be awesome. Okay? Or they're not going to go.
And also,
Wherever they put it, it's going to be awesome.
They're either going to go or they're not going to go. Yeah, that's correct.
Well, in other words, like, you're the type of person that goes or you're the type of person that doesn't. Wherever they put it, it's going to be awesome.
I couldn't care less if I rankle the feathers of a bunch of dorks with hashtag HTTC in their Twitter bios. It's okay.
I'm actually more interested in what it's going to look like. Like, to me, the where they place it. I can't wait to see the architecture.
They can't even design it though without knowing where the land is going to be.
Generally, understood. I agree, but like the
understood
when they were talking about putting it like JP mentioned, like way down 95 in Dumfries,
well, that's just insurance,
or halfway to North Carolina. Idiotic. You can't do that.
Yeah. I agree. Like, I don't think they would ever do that.
If it winds up in Virginia, it's got to be like
legit
Northern Virginia.
Well, let's put it in Kensington.
It can't be like in Emporia,
there's
Virginia.
No place.
Good luck finding land
there's no
there.
Place.
We'll knock down Jean's Costumes. Put it over there.
That's a good local reference.
Well, hold on. I don't understand why you say that.
Well, you just say because you don't care where it's at. Put it anywhere.
Well,
you don't
have an opinion
on it.
Mr. Wash.
You would care. Yeah, you would care.
Of course I don't want it in my backyard, but that's not an issue. But I'm just saying, like, it's okay if they put it in D.C. or they put it where it is now. It's fine. It's going to be awesome. Whatever they put, even though there won't be enough tailgating and there won't be enough parking, it'll be pain in the ass. Wherever they put it, it's going to be traffic. But the stadium itself experience, I assume, maybe it's a big mistake, it's going to be incredible. Wherever they put the stadium.
Yes, it will be state-of-the-art.
The stadium experience itself will be amazing. And that'll, you know, I think that ultimately that's not what matters. When you go to a freaking... You can't expect to go to a Skins game and have that experience and, like, what do you want to do, 10 other things that day? No. You're going to the football game, you're going to party, tailgate, enjoy the game, and that's your day. So just, you're going to have traffic, it's going to have complications, probably have to walk a little more than you want to, might have to get on, God forbid, public transportation for a portion of it.
Not a fan.
Yeah, I don't like it either. But
I know I won't be doing it.
The game experience itself,
count me out,
is going to be awesome wherever it is.
Well,
I'm a public transportation guy.
I know you love it.
I am not.
You love it.
Get me there faster.
Yeah. Tell Mayor Bowser that next Thursday at 9 a.m. when she's in the studio.
What do you want me to tell her?
I'm butt sized.
I'll tell.
If it ends up in Maryland, it's going
to
be great.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Yeah. You don't want me to be my honest self.
What if they moved them? What if they moved them to Bel Air, Maryland? You'd be okay with that?
This that they wouldn't do that. I'm not worried.
Well, for some people, Dumfries feels like that.
They're not going to put it in Dumfries. They'll never in a million years put it in Dumfries.
That's like putting a stadium in Delaware.
They would put it maybe in Tyson somehow. I don't know how. Or they would put it
in... I would still bet it's going to end up in D.C.
It's either going to end up in D.C. somewhere or it's going to end up in its current site.
That's what I would bet.
It's not going to end up in bum F somewhere.
No.
It's not. It's not right, a possibility.
Can we talk about Von Miller again, please?
Von Miller was a good signing.
I know. I want to talk about it.
Yes.
800-636-1067.
I like Von Miller. Well,
it is open on Thursday.
A little extra seasoning to the
pass
rush.
As a player, like him. As a person, dicey. Unless he moves into my neighborhood and he waves to me all the time.
Yeah, then he's your guy.
Then he's good enough for you.
It's an open line Thursday. 800-636-1067. You can talk about Von Miller. You can talk about the latest stadium drama. You can talk about whatever you want. You can ask Junkies Hypotheticals. 800-636-1067 is the number. We're the Junks on an open line. The listeners have responded on an open line Thursday. 800-636-1067. I want to talk about a variety of topics. We're all over the map here.
All right, I love this.
We love.
Let me see here. All right, let's go to Steve. You got a hypothetical for us, Cakes.
I love those.
We love hypotheticals.
We just dole out just great advice all the time.
Steve in Houston. Hey, buddy.
Very good.
Wow.
What's up? Steve?
You hung up on him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have bumped it by mistake.
Steve, call back, please.
Call back, Steve. I apologize.
He might have been your former roommate when he lived in Houston.
Doubtful, but sure.
All right, let's go to Henry.
It was a long time ago.
Henry in D.C. Hey, Henry, what's up, man?
What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Junkies. You guys are the best. You guys.
What's up?
You're right. We are the best. Thank you, Henry, for recognizing that. We appreciate that.
Thanks, man. What's up?
Hey, guys, I was wondering, would you guys be willing to come out of your comfort zone down at the Navy Yard and come down to the MLK Public Library and do a live show?
No.
Probably going to be a no.
No.
If they paid us.
Yeah, I mean, it has to make the station money.
I don't like,
that's the thing.
I don't like libraries. I'm not afraid to say it.
It's a nice library. It's been remodeled.
I'm sure it's great.
What do you do there, Henry?
I work in the mail room. I try to listen to you guys as much as I can until I got to get off and go move some stuff around.
I appreciate that.
Looks like a really nice building. I'm looking at it.
I appreciate that.
Probably not going to happen.
But that's going to be a no for me, dog.
Thank you for effort. If you want to come by the station and say hello,
just let us know and we'll let you up the building.
Shot your shot, Henry. We appreciate
if
that.
If you want to come out here and see us and just say hello for a minute, you can do that.
Nice location.
All right. Thank you, fellas.
All right, buddy.
I don't think I have the same disdain for libraries that EB does, but I honestly can't remember the last time I was in a library.
I've never been more bored than
the
being in a library.
The closest I've been is, I believe, at Voltaggio Brothers at MGM National Harbor.
Yeah.
They have a segment of the restaurant that's modeled after a library.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the closest I've been to a library in many movies.
Voltaggio Brothers, all the rooms are supposed to be a different room in your house.
In 2025, what do you need libraries for?
I think I've just sat in the bar at the Voltaggio Brothers.
Which is great.
I think that's the only
spot. It's a great spot.
You haven't had dinner there?
Well, I had dinner at the bar, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't know they had a room that was a library.
Library's just a crowded EB.
Pretty sure.
I can tell you.
Why though?
Because people get books and then they return them.
They're free. They're
instead of buying them.
It doesn't cost anything.
I just feel like everything's
a lot of people use the computers too.
Everything's online. I mean, I guess if you're just a brokey.
Some people like reading physical books.
I think a lot for parents.
Yeah, most people don't. I mean,
for parents, I think it's big. Instead of going and buying a new Dr. Seuss book every time, you can pick up five at a time, then you return them, you pick up five more.
Okay.
And then as they advance, you constantly pick up books.
Okay.
Because books, I mean, you like to keep your books that you've read, but books, once you read them, you're done with them.
It's not just checking out books that is part of it, but it's filled with high school kids.
Mm-hmm.
All packed with high school kids.
So it's just a place to congregate.
I had no idea.
It's just a place to congregate.
Not really.
It's fake like you're studying.
No, they are. They're usually like.
Because if I'm around a bunch of other kids, I know. But if I'm around other kids, I'm just going to socialize.
No, they're sitting in their own cubes, sitting by themselves, studying.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's so if you also need a quiet place. If you need a quiet place,
plus they have all kinds of reading shows and all kinds of things.
Or
for
also the
kids.
Weirdo like single dudes going in there and chatting with people on the available computers. Oh, wow. Am I 20 years behind?
They usually have a lot of
that was an older thing.
That used to be a thing.
They usually have a lot of activities too.
Okay.
Like sometimes for seniors, they might teach language classes. I've taken my kid to read to the dog.
Okay.
That's a monthly activity.
Listen, I'm
the dog doesn't understand what you're saying.
No. Cakes, back in the day, that's where Brokies went to go see boobs.
Oh, really?
National Geographic?
Yeah. National Geographic.
Well, and the computer.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't have internet.
No filter.
Oh, you would actually surf porn in a library?
That was a big thing.
You guys don't remember that? Like, back in the 90s, all the creeps were going to the library and looking at porn.
I don't remember that.
Getting arrested.
I missed that.
That was definitely a thing.
I see a lot of people, too. Older people, I don't know what they're doing, that have laptops, and they seem to be doing their work in their areas. So maybe they don't have an office at their home.
But I assume people just go to like a Starbucks or something.
Well, they do that too.
Yeah. I know this. I hope to live a long life. Probably won't. Probably die tragically early. But I'll never step foot in a library the rest of my life.
Okay.
I'll never say never.
No reason.
It's highly unlikely I'll be in a library anytime soon.
You're probably right. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine me going to the library.
Yeah. All right, let's go to
I'm with you.
Let's go to Steve.
Unless I went to the library at the Voltaire Bar.
Yeah, right.
Steve in Houston.
I'll go there.
Steve, what's up, buddy?
Get a silly drink.
Sorry for hanging up on you.
It's quiet room.
Hey, Steve.
Hey. Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, yep. We got you.
Oh, okay. Hey, what's up, fellas? All right, here's a hypothetical for you guys. I think you guys are like this. So say each one of you guys are Josh Harris. You guys own the Commander Skins, right?
Yeah.
You're in this whole stadium thing.
Filthy rich. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Filthy rich. Yeah. But like anyone's filthy rich, the more you save, the better. Dan Snyder reaches out to you, says, hey, you know, I screwed up everything. I was a big fanboy. I want to right my wrongs. And the best way I can do it now, by not having any stake in the team, is to do a huge donation towards the stadium. But here's the caveat. You got to say Snyder Hall, Snyder Scoreboard.
They're not doing that. They're not doing that.
No, of course not.
No, he's asking us.
If I'm Josh Harris, I'm a billionaire. I would not do that.
I would laugh at Dan Snyder and tell him to go back on the
dumb
boat.
Dan wouldn't do it.
If he was to give you $100 million towards the call,
I'm a billionaire.
I'd laugh at $100 million. No, I quit and laugh at it.
Because the fans are going to turn against you.
Cakes Harris laughs at $100 million. That's being
I don't want to discourage people. Terrible hypothetical.
I'd go bilk people out of Ward 6 for more money for my stadium.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not a thing. All right, let's go.
I might do it.
Yeah.
I might take that money.
You might take it.
I would spell Snyder differently. I would spell it
S-N-I-D-E-R.
Yeah, I'd say it's not Dan Snyder. It's Rick Snyder. Yeah, it's Rick Snyder.
You're above Jason. You're above it.
Oh, okay. Right.
You're worth $6.5 billion. You don't need $100 million.
Right.
It's like a $10 bill falling out of your pocket.
$100 million, lots of money.
Yeah, not
of money.
Not like $6.5 billion.
Yeah. Right,
let's go to Jason in Arlington. Jason.
Hey, what's up, junkies?
What's up?
Hey,
what's up?
I need a hole-in-one ruling from you guys. This happened a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's been weighing on my conscience, and I don't know what to do.
All right, where was it?
Yeah, I can't give out too much CII, but it was on the Eastern Shore, which is relevant.
Okay. Talbot Country Club?
I'm sorry?
Talbot, where? Where? Ocean City or Easton or Oxford?
Yeah, we'll say in and around Ocean City.
All right.
So it's a course, you know the course down there, they don't drain.
They don't drain.
It's pouring rain.
Okay.
I'm playing with my buddy. We have the entire course to ourselves because no one's out there.
Right,
go ahead. It stops raining. You know, I'm playing pretty well. And we're on the back nine and a par three, and my back foot slips out from under me, and I basically, it was almost a whiff. It was like dead. I'm like dead straight into the woods. And my playing partner goes, no, you didn't use your mulligan. You're two off the first tee.
It's not a hole-in-one. Oh. That's not a hole-in-one, sorry.
And every golfer's nightmare, of course, 170 yards, just right next to the pin.
That's a great shot, but it's not a hole in one.
That's a hole in three.
Yeah.
That's a nice par.
It's a great shot.
Nice par.
It's not a hole in one.
Okay.
We've made our rule.
That's the deal.
What did your buddy say?
He was very quiet.
He was on the fence.
I think he was kind of waiting for what I was going to call it.
I mean, you can put whatever you want on your card.
The junkies of the cream.
You got a great story, but you don't have an ace.
No, you don't.
I mean, it's like, put it this way. If we, like, you know, these YouTube guys or whatever, they go out there and they play a hole for 3 days until they get a hole in one. I mean, it's not really a hole in one.
No,
it was a hole in 9 million.
Shots at what did he say? He said his buddy said you haven't used your mulligan yet.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, come on. That's a dumb question.
That's a farce.
It's the dumbest question ever.
I mean, mulligans.
I think he knew the answer.
And mulligans are those are for scrambles. Okay, it's not for when you're playing with your boys.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
All right. So far, doing bad on these. So far. Let's go to BarGov? You always say, I never know how to say the name. BarGov.
Yeah. Hey guys, appreciate you taking my call.
Sure, yeah, man. What's up?
That's correct. Hey, so I got an analogy about the Terry situation. Isn't really fleshed out, but let me know what you guys think about this. So this Terry negotiation, it's like when you're flying to Asia, let's say Thailand or Singapore, with your wife, you know, and your wife is Terry in the situation, and she wants to fly first class. Mm. The budget analyst in you just simply cannot fathom such irresponsible fiscal management. You say no, you know, regular economy. You're standing strong, and she's standing strong as well. Then your lady notes that, look, you know, she supported you. She held you down years ago when you were unemployed, cannabis-addicted loser glued to your mom's couch in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
She highlights how 5 years ago she paid for flight tickets to Cancun for a mutual friend's wedding.
Uh-huh.
You agree. You know that that's true, but you highlight, look, I'm a changed man. I go to the gym every day. I got a job.
Mm-hmm.
You're a completely new person now. You're a new entity. And
right.
You just want to espouse financial responsibility.
Right.
After some back and forth, you hope to land on premium economy, but more likely it's going to be business class. That's kind of how I liken it. Thanks, guys.
That was a really drawn-out scenario.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? We did say anything.
We followed it perfectly.
We offered
it. We may have to tweak that going forward.
But it might. But you know what? It was fine. He made an analogy, and I thought it was somewhat appropriate. In other words, you're probably not going to end up in first class. You're not going to be the highest-paid receiver, but you're going to be, what do you say, business class?
Business class. I think Valdez's flown business class before. Yeah, it's kind of baller.
You'd be close.
Or at least he's told me he has.
Man, that was, you're right, that was drawn out. Let's go to Tom in South Riding. Tom, what's up, man? You're on with the Junkies. 800-636-1067.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Tom?
So, yeah, I just wanted to point out about the D.C. Council. So I remember back when the National Park was being approved that Bud Selig was going crazy because he had a deal and then the D.C. Council had to approve it. But what came out of that was a bunch of tickets for youth groups and the youth academy. So the learners get all this praise for the youth academy. It wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the D.C. Council.
Okay. I've defended this D.C. Council in this sense. Like I think it's okay to hold out for the best deal you could get, to be fiscally responsible. I think they should do that. I think that's kind of like their job. So I'm okay with it. Thank you, Tom.
But I do still believe that they're going to approve it.
I think so, too.
I do believe that.
I think so.
Now maybe the numbers will get a little bit better, probably, but I do believe they're going to approve it.
Let's go to Matt in Fairfax. Matt, what's up, man? It's Open Line Thursday.
Hey,
chance to hear the show. Hey, buddy.
Morning. I know, just to change it up a little bit, the doldrums of the sports calendar, I know Cakes went to a concert last night, and we all, except for Jason, like Wolf Trap. And I was just wondering, to kind of piggyback on that hypothetical earlier, Eric, would you rather go see Star Wars performed by an orchestra or go to a library for 4 hours?
Star Wars by an orchestra. Not even close.
Yeah, he was a band nerd, so he could appreciate that.
I like live music.
Wait, why don't you think I like Wolf Trap? I've never said that.
Oh, you don't like anything.
That's
a great response.
Okay, that's a
great
response.
Great answer. No, but Jason likes that because that's like bring wine and sit there.
I don't dislike Wolf Trap. I like Wolf Trap.
Wolf Trap's awesome.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, man. I love you guys. Hey, Cake. Goo Goo Dolls and Dashboard Confessional at the end of the month. Can we go?
That's pretty good.
Oh, the Goo Goos.
Is that at Wolf Trap? Where's that show?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good double bill. It's a pretty good double bill.
Dashboard is so slept on.
I mean, this guy.
Play some Dashboard for me.
You'll play Hands Down
so
or Vindicated.
Right.
Smashes.
Yeah. You can also go to see this Sunday, Weird Al Yankovic.
It's not Yankovic.
I'm out on Weird
like
Al Yankovic.
Rookie. What are you doing?
Sorry.
Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, yeah, I like the song.
Yeah, I mean, it's Chris Caraba.
How old are these guys? These guys in their 40s, early 50s?
They have to be.
Yeah. Well, this was
gotta be.
This was when we were at HFS, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Was this considered an emo band?
Very emo.
Yeah.
Like the most emo.
Yeah. I like it.
It's very weepy and emotional.
Yeah.
You're going to get in your feels.
I was
going to
say, it's not an up.
Chicks are into Dashboard Confessional.
Feeling song, but I like it.
This isn't their most popular one, though, is it?
Vindicated's pretty big.
It sounds like the beta national anthem.
Hands down, I think it's their biggest smash. Probably top on the Spotify playlist.
That's great hook.
So good.
Yeah. Chicago's there next Wednesday.
It hurt a little bit this morning when Mar was looking at the lineup for Wolf Trap this summer, and he goes, Weird Al. Who is that?
Yeah. Well,
he's a young.
Weird Al's probably 100.
Jump back. You know what? That place will be packed.
People love that
for Weird Al.
I mean, I guess must be if he's still touring.
If I went to one show there, it would be Weird Al for sure.
How about Yacht Rock Review?
I know it'd be entertaining.
Well, but is it just a bunch of
you don't want to hear Weird Al sing "I'm Fat"?
Cover bands.
Cover bands. Yeah. I mean, I love Yacht Rock.
So good. You should go.
I'm huge on Yacht Rock.
It's a Sunday night, August 3rd.
I bet I would rather see like Michael McDonald.
Well, speaking of which, he's probably there. No, they don't have Michael McDonald, but they have Steve Winwood.
Oh,
that's going old school.
Love Winwood.
Yeah. I need to fire this up.
So good.
What do I go to?
Is Winwood, is he a Brit or is he Aussie?
He's definitely British.
British, yeah.
100%.
All right, I'm gonna X out of Von Miller Weekly Grades. Okay. And now I'm going to go to... Wolf Trap.
Yeah, your computer's very confused. Yeah. All right, when we come back, we'll talk to Tom Lavero, Washington Times sports columnist. We'll talk Nats and more with him next. So we will be joined shortly by Tom Lavero from the Washington Times. His latest article, Nationals needed to draft a player who can help core stars now, not in the distant future.
Mm-hmm.
That is in the Washington Times as we speak. We'll talk to him about that and more when he joins us. Shortly.
During the break, I was talking to Mike Mars, a big UFC guy, and the UFC has a pay-per-view this weekend with Dustin Poirier against Max Holloway for the BMF title. And at Poirier, it's his last fight. And I said, you don't know who else is fighting this weekend. And there's no way any of you guys could know it. Maybe Lavera would know.
I don't.
In boxing, Manny Pacquiao is coming back.
Back in the ring?
Oh, 46.
Oof, wow. That's a rough look.
It'll be terrible.
All right, let's head to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to Tom Lavera, Washington Times sports columnist. Tom, how are you? Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. Always great to be on.
Were you a boxing guy? I feel like you're a boxing guy.
He's a big boxing guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've I'm a winner of the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Boxing Writers Association of America.
JPS, that's awesome. He's a boxing guy.
What's
couldn't be more of a boxing guy.
He's a Hall of Fame boxing guy.
He's setting him up to talk about boxing. What's the best match you went to?
Are you a boxing guy?
That's why we have him on. Talk boxing.
What's the best boxing match I ever saw?
Yeah.
Was probably Bo Holyfield one. The first fight between Riddick Bowe and Evander Holyfield. That's probably the greatest heavyweight title fight in the last 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Went the distance. The 10th round is a classic. Bo looked like he had Holyfield out on his feet. And Evander, he came back and almost won the round himself. So I would say Bo Holyfield won in 92.
How was Bo doing? It was a lot of bad stuff, right? Towards the end of his career, is he settled in, or does anybody know?
I don't know. I see him pop up. I haven't seen him or talked to him in quite a few years. I see him pop up on social media occasionally.
Uh-huh.
So I mean, I don't think he's in the street or anything like that.
All right, that's good.
But he was punchy by the end of his career. That's why he had to retire.
Yeah, God, such a brutal sport. But it is freaking entertaining.
So, Tom, you tweeted this yesterday at Tom Lavero on Twitter. There wasn't one adult in the Nationals draft room when they picked a 17-year-old shortstop who screamed, "Are you nuts? We're on our way to our sixth straight losing season, and you're talking about what, 2030? Who will be left to watch?" So I'm sure you like Eli Willett's talent, but you just feel like it was the wrong pick for the Nats at this point in the development of some of their younger players that are currently on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that the Nationals' baseball priority right now should be to make the most of the time they have Mackenzie Gore, C.J. Abrams, and James Wood on their roster. You know, because there's a good chance two of them aren't going to be here in a couple of years. So you need to make hay while you have those guys there. I mean, James Wood and Mackenzie Gore are both Scott Boras clients. They're going to leave for free agency. You've got Gore for two more years. You got Wood for five. But I think you need to make the most of that time. And I think, you know, with Cade Anderson, a left-handed starter out of LSU, highly regarded, the Mariners wound up picking him with the third pick in the draft. You had a guy that everybody believes was ready to step in rotation next year for this team. I mean, they need to act from top to bottom like there's a sense of urgency right now, because I think there is.
Tom, do you think if Riz – sorry, I'm getting ready to sneeze, I think. Sorry. Do you think if Riz was still running the show, he would have pushed for Cade Anderson over a 17-year-old because of those points?
You know, let me make it clear. I have no idea if he would have.
I know.
Or not.
It's just your vibe, right? Just your
vibe. My vibe says he would have.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he has a tremendous respect, like a lot of baseball people do, for the LSU program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they drafted Dylan Cruz last year out of LSU. And I think he would have understood the sense of urgency here. He's understood it. Mike understood it for the past couple of years. The learners didn't.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me. I don't know I just don't know how to make sense of it all, because there are all the stat geek guys that say it was such a great pick.
Right. The guys who, I say, like to sleep with a slide rule under their pillow at night.
Yeah, but sometimes those guys are right. I mean, sometimes they're right.
No, look, I'm not here to disrespect analytics. It's a tool, okay? It shouldn't be the Bible. It is a tool just like any other tools. What's happening in baseball and in other areas of life too, but particularly baseball, we're suffocating on information and you're gasping for knowledge. There's a difference between information and knowledge. And knowledge are what your baseball people have, the guys who played the game for 20 years, who coached for 20 years, who scouted for 20 years. Now, if they're not going to step up and embrace the tools that are given them, that's a problem. But it is just a tool.
So you,
I'm not dismissing it.
Are you out on all? So it sounds like then, broad strokes, you'd be out on any high school kid.
Not necessarily.
For this organization.
Given the position that this organization is in, again, sense of urgency.
Would you have drafted Bryce Harper if he was available today, right? Out of high school, then we have the 6 years losing, you know, the whole deal.
Well, again, we're talking Sports Illustrated cover. There's an exception to every rule.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, I might want to point out, he came out of college when he came out.
Right, well, because he reclassed and went into junior college, I remember. Yeah. But essentially, same age, same deal.
Yes, now I get the same deal, and no, I would certainly take Bryce Harper if he was available. I mean, you were talking about a generation type of ball player in that case. Look, the Dodgers are one of the biggest analytics teams in all baseball. They invest a lot of money, not just in players, but in analytics. Their manager, Dave Roberts, manages his team the way the front office wants him to. For all that and all the money they spend, if you don't count the COVID World Series year, they have one World Series championship to show for it, and that's last year. And three of the guys they pencil in their lineup every day are Hall of Famers, none of which they developed.
It's true.
The only thing I'd say...
And Tom, you're not saying that Eli Willits won't be a good player, because...
No.
Saying they need immediate help.
You're just saying that for this particular time of the Nats season, that you should have drafted a kid that would have been, you know, had a road quicker to the team, to the majors, rather than draft a 17-year-old who might not get here for 4 or 5 years.
Yes. Look, I'm a big believer in organizational messages. Mm-hmm. And the organization message for the Nationals should be a sense of urgency. There should not panic mode. I mean, because panic, you make foolish decisions. But to recognize where you are, you're about to finish your sixth straight losing season. You're becoming Wizards-like in irrelevance in this
yep.
town.
Yep.
And that has to be the marching orders from on the business side and the baseball side.
Here's also the counter to it, and again, I'm open to either argument. I'm not sold either way, but isn't also the counter to it that it was just one of those years where there wasn't a clear-cut one guy, right? Like even Cade Anderson, whatever his name is, he didn't go the next pick, right? Or Holiday didn't go the next pick.
Right.
It was one of those weird years.
Yes. Yeah. Like last year where everyone pretty much knew Paul Skeens and Dylan right. Cruz were going to go 1-2.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Again, you can make that case. It wasn't a clear cut, but I think the book on Anderson was that he's probably a number two or number three major league starter right now.
Okay.
You know? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, yeah, I think sometimes it's wise to draft according to need. And the Nationals need help right now.
What about the Mystics? Where do you stand on Drab saying the Mystics botched it, not drafting Angel Reese? I mean, I'm serious.
He's just laughing.
I know you haven't probably analyzed it, but how do you not draft?
He's a boxing guy.
Arguably
he's not a Mystics
the second
guy?
Most popular player in the league.
Well, you know, I'm really not familiar. You know, it's funny. No, I don't want to do this. I'm not going down that road.
All right. You know what? Smart, research Tom. It and get back to us, Tom.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we'll touch on it on a later date. Tom, thanks as always for the time, man. We'll have you on again
soon. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Thank you, buddy.
It's Tom Lavera, Washington Times sports columnist. When we come back, we'll get into EB's entertainment page next on The Fan.